Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here today to report on this ongoing research project. Our laboratory, Woods End Laboratories, has developed a rapid, simplified approach to CO2 respiration assessment of soils, and the purpose of this project was to compare this technique with existing technology, infrared gas analysis procedures, and the traditional base trap alkali titration procedure to see how well we're doing in developing a test kit that essentially mimics these other more well-known procedures. The research was largely conducted in Rick Haney's laboratory down in Texas, and our laboratory provided the calibration, the controls, and the testing technology for this project. So, soil respiration, soil carbon dioxide respiration is considered for purposes of this project as a gauge of biological soil fertility. Now, the situation is that laboratory methods to measure it vary both in regard to labor and equipment, and we have determined that both these factors are limiting more widespread adoption of respiration test methods. We have recently developed the Solvita kit procedure, and it's a hypothesis that this could be a reliable and low-cost method, both in the field and in the laboratory, to enable respiration testing to be conducted. Finally, one of our hopes is that using soil CO2 respiration to predict release of nitrogen and phosphorus could help reduce costly fertilizer inputs. So one of the drivers here is to develop the technology, and then the other is to follow it with some good sound interpretation methods so that this becomes a useful and practical procedure. I'm essentially reporting on two studies here that are the subject of two papers to be published in the near future. For one, in comparing all the different respiration methods, we collected 60 soils nationwide and ran the correlations on those. A second project I report in here, we added composted dairy manure with 1% total nitrogen to a Houston black soil that contained 2% carbon. And we did it in increments, and then we followed the response in respiratory response, NNP release, water-soluble organic carbon during a 28-day period. Now, as I've mentioned already, the methods we're comparing are the three, the alkali trap titration, the infrared train method, and the Solvita gels. I'll explain all these in a little bit more detail. The procedure is to use a drying, rewetting process. So soils are dried at 40 Celsius. They are re-wetted and placed, 40 grams are placed into the test apparatus. The dry re-wetting cycle is believed to release readily available organic carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus. Now, the time of the test varies, and we compare these in the study too. We're working off a one-day approach. We're working off basal respiration, which is the 7-day to the 28th day CO2 response, and we're using the total cumulative 28-day as well. The 7 to 28 day basal respiration has been proposed, in other words, to eliminate the first 7 days in case they contain a spike of response to the drying rewetting cycle. However, we've found that that is more often limited to only 3 days, and now we're showing that actually the 1 day response is critically important information. Okay, just a little background on CO2 titration. I've been using CO2 titration in the lab for decades myself. This procedure dates to 1953 or even earlier in the soil, published soil testing world, and it implements routine laboratory supplies, so any laboratory can jump in and do it. It does require technical skill. It requires constant standardization of the sodium hydroxide reagents. And also, there are newer and more recent concerns about proper barium chloride disposal following the test and rendering that insoluble. The other thing about the test, it's very time-consuming, and this is one of the biggest detractors, we believe, to it. For example, we've timed this several times. 24 tests took this operator 70 minutes to conduct. So that's a real limitation in the procedure just alone. Now, Two types of technology were used in the study, GC in our lab and another lab, but we're not reporting on that here. That requires taking a gaseous air sample and transporting it to a GC machine and running it through. But what Rick Haney's lab is doing is using the IRGA apparatus, which you see down below, relatively expensive device, but you can run 10 samples through it simultaneously. So theoretically 10 samples a day, but if you're going to do a 28-day test, you've got that equipment tied up for that period of time. So very reliable and sensitive, both these methods, but much more costly. So unless a laboratory has already got this equipment in place, there's probably not a chance that they would install it for adding CO2 respiration into their repertoire. Now, what is the basis of our Solvita test? Our invention was a CO2-absorbing gel. We also have this product marketed in the composting world where we have ammonia-absorbing gels to warn growers that a sample has a high volatile ammonia content. Now, these gels absorb over about a 2.5 log concentration range, so they contain a very wide responsiveness. And originally it was developed with a visual color chart, which you see at the bottom there, and you would read this against the test result after a day or 2 days or whatever, and you could infer the milligrams carbon per kilogram soil per day from those color responses. What we did that made this project particularly interesting to the other laboratories was we decided we had to develop a digital color reader to improve the readability of colors. Anybody in a laboratory will complain that there is a certain amount of subjectivity when you read color, colorimetric procedures. And we were going for much higher precision in this study because we want to turn it into a nitrogen release predicting method, so we knew we had to do this. So we used the relatively newly developed white diode technology and were able to construct an array detector using RGB filters. Has a very high dynamic range of optical perceptivity, and we installed a very simple microchip in it that not only gives you your color indicators to 2 decimals accuracy, but interpolates the CO2 level in the jar at the time of the test. So very promising results. These 60 samples were dried, re-wetted, re-moistened, and on the y-axis you have the base trap alkali procedure, and on the x-axis the Solvita digital readout from our device. Essentially, we have concluded, and we've run more than 200 samples now, these tests essentially give the same information similarly with the IRGA. Now, how do some of the other procedures compare? Here we have A, B, and C charts showing the respirometer, which is the IRGA, the base trap titration, and the Solvita digital gel, and we're comparing the respiratory response over 28 days. And as you can see, all of them are fairly well correlated. The highest R-squares between the cumulative soil respiration and the CO2 titration step, followed very closely by the Solvita, and this was a little bit more spread in the IRGA data. So this data shows two things here, that the methods are giving similar information and that total cumulative respiration over 28 days correlates very highly with our one-day drying rewetting cycle. I don't show the data here, but we have also determined that basal respiration, where we subtract the first 7 days, is giving us essentially the same slightly lower correlations, but very significant nonetheless. Now, a very interesting series of studies has been done, and this is just an extract of it. We're now looking at the one-day CO2 respiration by the various techniques. Here we're just showing the Solvita gel versus the base trap titration on the left, and the 28-day mineralization response in these 24 soil samples for nitrogen and phosphorus. So what's so interesting here is that we're getting extremely good correlations in most of these soils, indicating that we can take these one-day CO2 respiration responses and infer something about the potential N and P mineralization. And this is The real thrust of the research is to try to develop a low-cost, reliable procedure to help farmers make these predictions. A second component of this study, we took a single Texas soil, rated as a Houston black soil with 2% organic carbon, and we brought the soil into the laboratory and added to it a dosage of this individual compost product from zero in duplicate from 0 to 80 tons per acre increments. Then we mixed them together, dried, re-wetted it, and ran the respiration test. Again, we're showing here the base trap CO2 titration on the left and the Solvita gel system on the right. What is very interesting about this is, of course, number one, almost a linear CO2 response to the rate of compost addition as revealed by both test procedures, indicating that as soon as you dose the soil with a compost product, it will generate a CO2 response to it that is measurable and could, based on the nitrogen and P release hypothesis, could lead to a very accurate prediction of what these materials will contribute to soil fertility cycle. And I need only mention that farmers are very hesitant to use composted products because they will tell you right off they have no way of predicting the nitrogen and phosphorus contributions from these materials. And it is costly to haul and spread, and with this lack of predictability, it presents an impediment to the wider spread of this. So, as an overall conclusion to these studies that we're reporting here, we've determined that the Solvita kit closely correlated to alkali trap and IRGA lab procedures. So really, any one of these test procedures could be used to provide the same information. We have also found that in the drying and re-wetting approach with a one-day test closely correlates to the cumulative and basal respiration, as well as to 28-day nitrogen and P mineralization. And finally, we have also shown that compost soil applications can be accurately reflected in increased CO2 rates, and these would be indicative of higher yield potential based on these amendments. The first paper shown here is the one that will be coming out shortly in Renewable Agriculture Food Systems, and the paper on the carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus mineralization is in review right now. Thank you for your time, and I'll take any questions. We did a field study with John Duran in Nebraska several years ago with cylinders pressed into the soil. And we did GC and the Solvita gel on that and got very high correlations between the two of them. And we're being encouraged to do more work in that because that provides information you can't get in the laboratory procedures. It would be relatively simple.